Welcome to Fresno's Best Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan Maddox. Today we have Naomi Marie on the show. Naomi is a Fresno-based artist. She was born and educated in Fresno, California, and is involved from everything from art hops to murals to teaching art. And ultimately, her focus is to bring more positivity to Fresno's art scene. We had a wonderful conversation. I learned a lot from her, and I know you will too. Let's meet Naomi Marie, and Baker will take us there. Investigating, making convos to elevate guests. Politics, religion, culture, art, music, show some respect to the best little city left in the U.S. Fresno's best! Fresno's best! Naomi, where do you like to eat in Fresno?
I like to eat Patio Cafe is usually where we go once a week.
Jack's I've never been to Patio Cafe.
It's really nice. I prefer the French toast, but you can also get the... I like the French toast, but a lot of times if I'm being healthy, the avocado toast is a must. But also they have good coffee, which I like in a brunch place. So
nice. Yeah, what makes their French toast good?
You can tell that they use good vanilla. I actually make French toast a lot. So that's why I was like, oh, I like it. Because they can also put like berries, fruits and vegetables or fruits inside of your French toast. But they also give you a good enough quality that it's good. But also it fills you up, which is nice all around.
Perfect. Well, I have lots of art questions for you, but I want to start kind of at the beginning. What's your earliest memories of creating art?
Probably when I was younger, when I was in elementary school, we weren't allowed to have art until Fridays. So I remember we were asked to do a replica of Van Gogh's Starry Night, but an art interpretation. And I just did it. And it was so easy for me. And I always thought that, oh, that's how everyone does it. Like, that's how everyone can create art so easily. And then my teachers and my friend at them, Alyssa, she was like, no one can't. And I was like, oh. Okay. But yeah, that's probably my earliest memory.
Yeah. And we'll talk about your personal approaches to art instruction later. But I wanted to ask you, do you think your most quality art instruction happened in a classroom or outside of a classroom?
In a classroom, most definitely. Now I think about it, a sixth grade teacher or a fourth grade teacher who doesn't know anything too much about art, but them taking time to introduce an artist who they're probably not too familiar with, but they do like, it does make a difference in the kids' lives.
Mm. And so who like, and you look back at your education, who is your favorite art teacher and why?
I wouldn't say favorite, but the artist or the teacher that meant the most was in high school. I took the same art teacher all 4 years. And her name was Miss Ewan from West Campus Central. And she was really adamant about making sure that it's your perfection, not perfection of the artwork. And she was just like very strict, but also like, you should try as much mediums as you want, like crayons, oil pastels, different kinds, because it'll be more fun for you to try different kinds and not just stick to one thing. And I think that kind of is like very much stayed with me. Even color pencils, like she was really strict about, you should use color pencils, but do it the right way. And I think that teacher kind of, all her hard work that she put into us ended up like creating a great environment for me to, oh, this is how you should do art kind of way.
Mm. Do you think people can reach a point in the art world where they don't need teachers anymore? Or is it something where you think like having teachers throughout your life is important?
I think it's very important because even if you're a professional artist, you still need that touchstone of someone reminding you, hey, you should try this medium. You should try this artist. If you don't have someone pushing you to excellence, then what is the point of art? Then if you just have it with yourself, then it's just a cycle of yourself to yourself from yourself. But right. If you have a different person there who doesn't have any financial gain, emotional gain, or even just like personal, but a person who is in your life that will tell you like, you should try this, or you should work with this medium, or you should stop using that color and use this color instead. I think it's good to always have someone, especially teachers need teachers kind of way. So I think that's important.
Yeah,
towards.
and I asked that because I posed that same question to another artist, and one of their responses was, well, I think you get signals from the outside world, whether it's people writing about your art or, whether people choose to buy it. But that didn't feel satisfactory to me because people can approach others' art for different motives, and that a teacher, in theory, their motive is really just to help you grow. Whereas an art critic might be, I'm just that person that always finds flaws in other people's work, or I'm that person that promotes this kind of art. So it feels like a teacher is a different, has a different a role to play with an artist development versus the outside world giving them feedback in their art. Would you agree?
Oh, yes, I completely agree. I recently saw my old painting professor from City, and I told him just a quick second. I was like, yeah, I'm trying to teach the kids art. I'm trying to teach them like the color theory. And he was like, well, make sure you think about the color theory in this way and not in this way. And it just made me more happier in doing the artwork and stuff, but also like being able to teach. And I tell my students, like, just because you're good at art, you still need that guidance in your life, that touch bowls or like train stations along the way, because if you don't, then you won't have anything else to fall back to, kind of way. Oh, I don't know. That's what advice I give my kids. So
Yeah. How does your family view doing art professionally?
I'm Mexican. So they, in the beginning, they never re it was hit or miss. My favorite story was that when I was telling my grandmother I wanted to be a professional artist, she said, there's no point in the arts. There's no purpose. You can never find a job in being an artist. And I was like, Grandma, your whole kitchen is filled with Diego Rivera posters. What do you mean? And then she just like looked around and I said, even your house is filled with them. And she was just like, oh. So I think sometimes you have to be the first one or the first one to believe in yourself in order to let everyone else follow. I always worked hard, and especially in art. So it was no surprise that I will be professionally something with it, because you kind of work so hard that your family just gives you the win.
So the reason why you were able to kind of stomach that feedback from your family, was it like you had a strong internal like locus of control, like I know who I am, I know what I need to do, or was that kind of a struggle internally for you to get that kind of feedback?
No, I just believe that you have to believe in yourself, and that sometimes you just have to be the first one. And I had a best friend who really was the first one to believe in me. And she kind of said, like, oh, you're going to be famous one day. You're going to be work hard. You're going to be a professional artist one day. And I was like, yeah, okay. I was like, I just want health insurance, but okay. And I think that really was nice that she. I had someone kind of to believe in me, because you do need those cheerleaders. But sometimes, if you're going to be the first cheerleader for yourself, that's okay. And I think that's not really marketed or said too much in the art world. Sometimes you have to be the first one. Also, I painted in college. I would paint three paintings a day for I don't know how many months. So it
Wow.
was kind of like, for a while, it was like, yeah, that's obvious.
Yeah. In your career, when did you feel like you hit a point where you had a style that was distinctly yours? Was that early, or do you think that you because a lot of artists talk about that point where they find something and then they attach to it, and then that becomes kind of a distinguishing marker in the work that they produce.
When I was in college, I had to do like turn in homework, and then it was supposed to be the same still life as everyone else, which is good because everyone has to paint from the same center point. And mine was different, and I exaggerated the color, the lines, and the expression in both the light and the subject itself. And I didn't think too much of it. And then someone from college was like, hey, like, that's really good. Why don't you do your final project like this? And I think that's good, because you kind of establish yourself and establish what it's different from you in a way, which I don't know. I just thought probably in college that was the turning point for me, when I realized I had a different style than many other people.
Have you played at all with some of the AI generated image producers, and what are your thoughts on that as an artist?
No, I just think AI is could potentially probably try to eliminate artists, but right now is just stealing for artwork and artists. a lot of corporations, instead of selling to the artists or buying from the artists, they just create an AI of what they don't want to pay for. But potentially it might be like, I think it could be for our fun, teaching kids like what the Mona Lisa could be if it was different colors or different that. But I think right now is just very troubling because they're trying to boot out artists, just how everything is in a capitalist society. They're trying to take out their, trying to take out the person who they want to buy from because they don't agree with the price. I just say, just pay artists. You know, if you want the Mona Lisas in our society, if you want Jackson Pollock's and Basquiat, then you should be able to fork over $5 for a print or $10 from the actual artists.
Let's talk about teaching art. What are the advantages of teaching kids art versus adults? And then what are some of the challenges of teaching kids art?
Well, I work with Fresno Youth, so it's very fun. And I say fun and colorful to teach kids artists that they probably won't be introduced to just because they're children of farm workers or children of nurse, like they're very grounded. And it's really hard for them to say like, no, you should go to the Louvre one day. And I know I had extra Eiffel Tower keychains, and I gave it to one of my students, Jonah. And he was like, what? And I was like, well, one day you're going to buy me an Eiffel Tower keychain. Until then, I want you to wear this one. And he was just kind of like, okay. But I think it's really important for Fresno Youth to have the arts and to have them be able to, I don't know, just to have someone to look to. And I like teaching kids because they're so colorful in the way they see things. You know, my students really gravitated currently to Picasso. And I was told them, I was like, well, you know, he said children are the best artists. And one of the kids said, well, does that mean they're stealing art from kids? I'm like, no, that's not what they meant. And I think it's really fun and colorful to teach students because you know where that seed is going to be. And you know, in their life, they might want to take an art class. Because I tell them, like, you know, in college, you have to take an art class. Like, that's a requirement. And they didn't understand. I'm like, no, like, it's a requirement. As long as you enjoy the class, that's all I ask for. And now they're all telling me like, oh, you know, my whole bedroom is filled with art now because you gave me all these prints. And I was like, yeah, I did. But I think teaching children art is so vital and so important, especially what we used to do murals. It was so nice for them to see part of their school and for them to say, oh, I did that. That's the mural I painted when I was 10. And I thought it would be really nice for their signature to be a handprint. So even when they're older, they can say, they're like, oh, that was my handprint I did when I was in fourth grade, fifth grade. And I think it's really important for kids to have youth. And I love teaching them. I think it's fun also because we're professional artists teaching art. The dots don't click until I draw them Kirby freehand. I draw them Kirby so many times. And then they say, hey, are you an artist? You should do that for a professional. And I'm like, I am. And I was like, yeah, but I'm just doing Kirby right now. But yeah, I think that's when it's important, just to have the importance in your life.
How would you describe the way you teach? Is it the ratio between verbal instruction and modeling and then just kind of sitting with kids while they're doing work?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like to start with Aristotle questionnaire. Like, so I'll ask them a question. I always ask them, what is art? Every day I'll ask them, what is art? And then they have to tell me a definition. And I'm like, well, this week it's going to be community. This week it's going to be color theory. This week it's going to be expressionism. This week it's going to be sadness. This week it's going to be happiness. But then I change that and take it to like Van Gogh. I'm like, well, you know, fun fact, he was never hugged as a child by his parents. He was never loved. But in his life, he was ordered to create happiness out of sorrow. Do you guys want to do that? And I say, look how vibrant his colors are. And just as a personal, I usually will sit with the kids and draw with them, because if you don't draw with them, then they won't draw, kind of thing. If you don't sit with them and like finish the project or do a project with them, then they won't do it. And I think if you're just in the corner on your phone doing the lesson, then they won't adapt. My coworker Dahlia said a good point. She goes, how can you tell children to read when you don't read yourself? And that was such a good point, because I was like, wow, dang, you're genius. Because my coworker and I, we also draw with them. We also do like a coloring page to introduce the artist to them. And then we have a project, but we also make sure the children don't feel like they need or they will fail. Usually if they need help, I always will help them no matter what. Or if they need help and they need me to do something, I'll like, okay, let's tweak it a little bit. Because the last thing you want is a kid to fail at an art project because you want perfection or you want the Pinterest-worthy artwork, which I think is very important not to be, to have a Pinterest-worthy artwork instead of something that you'll give the students to grow on. Because if you are so adamant about doing Van Gogh every day, guess what? They're going to hate Van Gogh by the end of the week instead of them being inspired. So, yeah, that's probably my opinions.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with you about the modeling thing. I'm a librarian and, you know, lots of parents will talk to me, I want my kids to read more. And my first question is always, how much do you read? You know, because I think really kids, you know, they really do see what we do, not what we say. And if we tell them to do something, but we do something else, then they learn that that's what we actually value. And that's where the actual import is. So I couldn't agree with you more about, you know, modeling what you want them to do in their lives. What is the hardest technique to teach kids, you think?
Probably, I would just say perfection is not what your end goal is. Because I could teach them Picasso and they could try to draw it. They could do Van Gogh and fail and it'll still look sort of nice. But for them, because they have to have a background, they have to have a foreground. And I just think little touchstones are where the children could easily achieve. Because I will tell them, okay, you have to color in the whole entire page, no white. And they're just like, what? And I'm like, no white. No white. And then I'll do another week like, no, I want you to do a black outline. And I'll supply the Sharpies and the Posco markers. And they'll be like, what? I'm like, yes. And then I think just no perfection because I could be stressed out. I've done it where I've cut out Van Gogh sunflowers all night. And the kids were just like, oh, this is fun. But for them to be able to say like, oh, no. This is hard because I don't have as many sunflowers as I want, if that makes sense. I want them to have fun. And I think perfection kind of makes them very stressed out. And I'm like, no, and especially now because of technology, AI, Posco markers, even though they're really nice and great artwork to use, kids can just like draw over something. I'm like, no, you have to draw out. I want you to plan it. If you make a mistake, just work around it. Kind of thing. And I think perfection is probably the hardest thing for me to teach kids because I'm like, it's okay to make mistakes, and they just give you a stink face. Fresno kids will give you a stink face and be like, no, I want it perfect. I'm like, no, thank you. But yeah.
Well, I think it's good as like an example too. Like a little while ago I was reading a biography of George Lucas, and they were talking about how the first Star Wars movie was made. And I didn't know what a total shit show it was. When, you know, obviously when you're a kid and all you see is the end product, you think that that end product arrived exactly the way the artist or filmmaker intended versus like, oh, I messed up here, but like I'm connecting this and I'm turning it into something else. I guess, and this, I'm trying to figure out a good way to ask this question. When you're teaching art to kids and you're trying to decide how to allocate your time, and you notice some kids are like really gravitating to it. And then you've got a bunch of kids that are kind of like, they're on the fences with what, you know, whether they want to spend the time to really work at, you know, their artwork. Do you tend to focus yourself on those kids that are really excited and interested, or do you try to be the same to everybody, no matter their interest level?
The same with everyone, but I also will focus on those children are not doing too much. Sometimes they need someone to ask them, are you okay? Or what's happening? Are you okay? I usually ask that question a lot. Like, are you okay? It graduates to everything. And one time, like one of my kids, I asked him, I'm like, are you okay? And he goes like, no, Frida Kahlo has too many portraits. He was like, I'm so bored of this already. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that's true. I was like, I'll give you that win. And then I was like, well, why don't you draw her? And he was just like, okay. And then he drew her. And I think you should always focus on everyone. That's why I like sitting with the students, because then you know ground level. And a lot of times I'll change my seating. If the class is rowdy, I'll sit in the back where I can see everyone. But if a kid needs a lot of help, I'll go up to them. But also my students will straight up say like, Miss Naomi, or they say my name is Miss Nomi. Miss Nomi, I need help. Miss Nomi. And they're not afraid to tell me like, there need help or assistance, or the quiet ones are the ones you have to watch a lot in a good way, because you could say like, oh, what are you doing? And then they'll tell me and they're like, I'm not in the mood to do this, but I'm drawing this picture. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Cause, but a lot of times you could see like their creativity is coming out of their head in a cool way. And that's what I love. Cause then you have to focus on everyone.
Hmm. Can you share a little bit about the mural program, how it got started and some of the things that you were proud that came from it?
It started with Jason Escovel and Miss Valerie from one of the, I think she was a principal, and Jason Escovel donated a mural. And when he was donating the mural, Valerie asked him, she was like, oh, wow, this is so great. You should do this. Do you want to do it with kids? And he said, yeah, that'll be fun. And it was just an experiment in the summer. And sadly, he lost his mother, and it became, the program was something that he could like tangible leave behind, something that was vital for the community and leave happiness, more happiness in Fresno. And I just started in December, and he asked me, he was like, hey, I don't know if you want to, but do you want to work with me? I'm doing murals with kids in the wintertime. And I said, yeah, I'm down. But I didn't think too much. I thought like, oh yeah, like this will be a fun job to have, and ended up like changing my life in a positive way. It kind of gave me more meaning. It expanded what it is to be an artist and how you should be humble and kind, but also you have to leave some happiness in the city of Fresno, because if it's just all about you, then there's no point, because when you die, there's not going to be that much left. But if you leave happiness and positivity, then it will do that. And I think for Fresno, it's very vital, because children need to see themselves and need to see their hard work in Fresno. If they just see, oh, that's where my cousin, because this is Fresno. And I think people forget how grounded and pretty much like how the children of Fresno can be. They don't see a streetlight. They see, oh, that's where my cousin got shot. That's where I lost my dad. My mom died in that hospital. That's where this happened. And I think if they have positive associations, especially with school, then the more the merrier. And I think Fresno needed Fresno Mural Program. I think they needed something more vital and positivity. And it would be great to do it again, because originally we were supposed to teach art. And at the end, summer ended with a huge mural. But because of Edison wanting to paint over, or them at arguing the case, and end up stalling it and not us being able to do that. And I think Fresno really needs some positivity, especially right now when all of us just feel so sad. And, oh, wow, our pothole didn't get fixed. Or, oh, wow, this is not being worked out. Or, oh, my gosh, look how many people are living on that one corner. So I think some positivity is needed. And I think that's what Fresno Mural Program was able to do, was give some back. You know, and I think that's very important.
Yeah. What was your favorite mural that you worked on, and why?
That's a good question. Honestly, the Fresno High ones, because just a personal, Jason is my partner in life too. And I asked him, I was like, what is that mural going to be at Fresno High? And he said, I love you. And I said, what? And he goes, I love you. And I was like, huh? And I kind of tricked him into saying those words for the first time to me. And I thought, like whenever we pass, because we pass by that mural all the time, and it was a sea train or the storage containers. Yeah. I think that's so fun. And it was funny because someone brought it up to me and they said, hey, did you see that mural at Fresno High? And I just laughed and I said, I did it. We were the ones who did it. And that big wall of roses, it kind of blends in perfectly with Tower District, but I did that big wall. And I think that those are the proud ones, because it was just spring break. It was already end of the program. We had to conclude that quarter, and we just ended up being like the mural that I always pass by. It always makes me happy. So yeah.
When you're looking at a mural, like let's say in another city, how do you judge a good and a less good mural? What are you looking for as someone that has, you know, developed taste through creating murals yourself?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like things where you ask yourself, how did they do that? You're like, how did that planning, how did that association? You're like, how did they get from 1 to like 10 to finish the steps? And I really like, I just am on awe of all art. So I just see it. I'm just like, oh, wow. I really wish I could know how they did it, the sketching, because a lot of artists will post so many pictures and videos of the finished mural. I'm like, no, I want to know like your sketches. Like, I want to see how it's fundamentally done. And I think that one, I like those. I like the color theory too. I like the color theory, the process. And when you, it's so amazing, you have to ask yourself, like, is this person real? Like, did this really happen? Those type of questions I like to ask myself.
We're going to jump to my favorite section, which is called overrated versus underrated. I'm going to throw a bunch of things at you. You tell me whether you think they're over or underrated and why. We'll start with this one, which I also use myself. I'm curious your thoughts. Patreon, over or underrated?
Underrated, because I think a lot of artists do need to have something for them to able to touch bases with. And also it's nice for them to cater to the people who already are a fan. And I think if you personally have a connection to supporting your favorite artists from them being able to be themselves and stuff, I think that's very important in art for them to have. It's just also like what they did in the Renaissance. So it's not too crazy of an idea. Renaissance artists always had Patreons if they agreed with them or not. So I think if you want to see yourself as the future Leonardo da Vinci's Patreon, then go ahead and forth. Please support local artists.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to frame it. Like thinking about yourself like one of those patrons and then supporting an artist who you want to see where their career is going to go. You want to help them thrive. You want that health insurance, like we mentioned before. You know, all those things don't just happen because you look at a piece of art and it makes it feel good. You actually have to put your wallet in there. Next one's an either or, Rothko or Pollock.
That's so hard. Oh, my brother's gonna kick my butt. But my brother loves Jackson Pollock, but I really like Rothko because Rothko has to have requirements for the museums. In order to see a Rothko, you have to have several artworks in the same gallery or museum. You can't just have one like Jackson Pollock. I think a lot of people underestimate or don't understand Jackson Pollock, so they just quick to hate it, but it's one medium that the students will always splutter paint. And I'm just like, no, stop. But I think Rothko, you have to see in person. And that's why I love teaching modern art, and modern art is so important because you have to see a Rothko in person. I love the Stanford Museum. It's free. And I think those are so amazing because they have several or three, and you have to be in front of one in order to understand it. Also, I read his biography, and his genius was very unmatched and very before time type of way.
Okay, next one. Me and Ed's Pizza.
Underrated. It's amazing. It's a staple in Fresno. If you're craving pizza, you know you want to crave Me and Ed's. Nothing else. Also, they're not rationing pineapples, which really makes me mad, is that a lot of pizzerias will say pineapple pizza and they only put three. While Me and Ed's, especially if you know the people, they'll put a lot, and that's what I like. Mm. I don't like frugal pineapple. Mm.
My partner has a favorite Me and Ed's where she's convinced they make the best pizza of all Me and Ed's. Do you have a particular one that you devoted to?
We used to go to the one on Shaw next to Dutch Bros.
Okay.
And it was the one we used to go all the time on Wednesdays. And it was just so familiar and so nice. But now, I don't know, I don't have a Me and Ed's anymore. It makes me sad. But that one, I think, was the one that me, my brother, my mom would always go to. Mm. And it made us happy.
Okay. In the Barbie movie, who in your view is the best character? Of all the Barbies.
That's a hard question. You have to say America Ferrera because she was the real person teaching Barbie what it is to be a woman. But I also say the theory of the daughter, because the daughter is probably what the legacy of Barbie is now, and how it was so important for it to change. Also, it just brings back the genius of Greta. So I would say maybe America Ferrera, but for sure maybe her daughter, because her daughter was able to tell what Barbie is and how portrayed, and kind of shows the views a lot of people think, like, what's the point of feminism? I really like the line, men hate women, women hate women. That's the one thing that everyone agrees on. And I think that was such a great line. Also, it's cheeky and very Fresno attitude to be that person in every movie, cinema, kind of storyline. So yeah.
My favorite is Weird Barbie. Anything Kate McKinnon does, like, I just can't help but love it.
Fun fact, Greta used to go to college with her, Kate McKenna. And whenever she said I couldn't do it, she goes, that's a lie. I saw you do it in college.
Wow. All right. Next one. Bob Ross.
Underrated because a lot of people don't appreciate his kindness. I tell my students all the time, it doesn't matter how successful, how powerful, how smart you are. You have to be kind and you have to leave some kindness behind. So I think Bob Ross is very, maybe some artists could take some pointers from Bob Ross. To be honest, not just the erasers and the capitalism part, but just also the kindness and everything will be okay in the end kind of way.
Okay. Next one. The National Portrait Gallery in London.
That's a hard one. Probably overrated because I don't remember that much from it. But I remember my dad being very excited. And when we went to London, that was like one thing that he was so excited about. But I think London has so many great museums that they all mesh into one. So probably museums in London are overrated because there's so many when they could just have one and then they can be like the Louvre while this one is like controversial while this one is very beautiful and kind. So I think maybe the National Gallery is underrated because not that many people go because they rather go to the science one instead. But London's museums could use some from the French and put some in all in one so people won't feel overstimulated and overwhelmed. Because when I and Jason went to London, we went to 3 museums in one day on the last day, including Abbey Road, and we were just so tired by the end.
Yeah, that fatigue makes it almost not worth it in some ways where you're just like, oh, great, another beautiful piece of art. We've got 4 more museums to go to and we're going to walk the whole way and I'm going to be tired and I need another croissant and shut up, you don't talk to me because I'm tired and my feet hurt. All right. Next one. Mural wallpaper.
Oh, mural wallpaper. Overrated. I'm okay.
You don't like it?
No.
Okay. I know it's like a fast way to get a mural done, but it seems like it's kind of, you know, it takes all the uniqueness out of a mural, you know, if it's just you're throwing wallpaper up.
Yeah, but if you can't afford the forklift or don't have the permit for it, then I'm like, okay, then it's an exception. But if you just want quick, fast, then just do some, yeah, do the wallpaper. But yeah, if you can't afford the forklift or don't have the insurance to cover just in case, whatever, then that's probably the only exception. But if you just want a quick, fast, just okay.
Next one, and this one I took from your Twitter. Why is George Orwell still relevant?
Well, I think, well, right now his argument is being hijacked and taken from other points of views who probably never. I say the greatest George Orwell, or the George Orwell gets quoted too much but doesn't get read enough. And I that you probably need to dissect and look into the different types of work. I've read every Orwell novel, including his writings, and I think his journals and his essays. And I would say read other stories of him, not just Animal Farm in 1984. 1984 is my favorite book, but I prefer Down and Out in Paris and London. And I was reading Claremont's Daughter for a long time, and I think that's very relevant how people view gender. But also right now, Down and Out in Paris and London, how ugly humanity can be when we don't have the necessary needs. And I think maybe people could read that book instead. And being cool and quoting 1984 on election day, get a new stick kind of thing. I think a lot of people were reading or just having out on their t-shirts. And I just remember seeing a guy in Starbucks walk in and he had a 1984 quote. And then it said on the back, no mask or something. And I was like, this guy has not obviously never read Orwell.
Yeah, no, a lot of people can get hijacked and that makes sense to me. Next one, the U.S. postage stamp Fresno mural, you know, the one downtown that looks like a stamp. What do you think of it?
Underrated because I wish there was more murals just as beautiful as it. I think if the city of Fresno only uses that one, it kind of shows that, oh, they funded one. Good job, click. But I would like to see as many as 20 and 30. There's so many wall space in downtown in a good position or just for something like having to argue why there should be murals inside of schools is the same with the downtown Fresno. They're good to find places. If you say I'm at the butterfly mural, you would know where you're at. Who did the same? I think underrated because we need way more. More.
I didn't even think about them as like geographical landmarks, but that's a good point. Like saying, like, because when I lived in other cities, and particularly I remember when I would live, when I lived in San Francisco, I would tell people, oh yeah, I'm by the Palace of Fine Arts or whatever. And they would like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna head in that general direction. I'm gonna get on the bus and meet you in that area. So that's a good point. I hadn't even considered that. Next one, Allard's Art Supply Store. Be honest.
I can't say too much because we have a whatever.
What ways could it be better?
I know I have to be honest because I'm an honest person. Underrated. I mean, overrated because they make me so mad that they have all this with Fresno State and City College. And instead of being honest with the students and being like, oh, you can only find this at Allard's, they're just like, you have to buy the whole checklist. If I worked at Allard's, I'll be causing a mayhem because I will just highlight and be like, oh, no, you could buy this at Walmart. And I think Allard's monopolizing that they're the only art store they will take into account. And I would say to art students, look around, don't, or trust the artists who are seniors and juniors, because they will tell you the where to honestly get it. Because what people don't understand is that Fresno City, when I went there, I had a checklist and I had to spend like $300 that I didn't have at Allard's until when I was a senior, I realized, oh, I could just go to Walmart and spend $20. And I think that's very rude of them, because they definitely use artists and then they use college students to get by when they could just be like the cool, because that's why probably that many people have an emotional ties to them, because they, it was a requirement instead of, oh, I just want to go for fun and look around. Okay.
Last one. This is an art technique, stippling, where you use little dots to develop a larger piece.
I know. I had to teach it. Underrated because we did it with, the kids used dot markers. Mm-hmm. And the dot, they had to use stippling technique with dot markers in order to make the great wave. That's a lot of like keywords and points and stuff. But it actually worked out so great because the kids had to do a group project where they had to stipple together and create the great wave with dot markers. And that was just so fun for them to see. And they had to work together and say, like, just like a mural is a group project. They had to work together and say, you do the purple, but I'll do the pink. You don't, you dare use the dark brown. And I think stippling will be interesting to teach kids. But I taught it like pixels. Like you have to see it as pixels and see how a computer is. So yeah. I think I did.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. All right, let's talk about a couple of Fresno-related topics. What do you think the actual value of Art Hop is to artists?
Oh, the value? It used to be somewhere you could get your name out. It used to be, when I was in Art Hop, to get followers. A lot of people, it's something that unsaid that once you hit 1,000 subscribers or 100 followers on Instagram, a lot of other vendor places won't take you unless you have over 1,000. And that's very important for Art Hop. It's something that people don't understand, but it's very like follow counts. But I would say now it's important because you need to know how your work is being valued. And I would also prefer Tower District. I prefer Tower District, Art Hop, especially SR Milk and Root Access, because they will buy your art. It is art at Art Hop. And I think it's important for Art Hop artists to know what is working, what is not, to meet the people. It's not like meeting fans. It's like meeting your friends again. And I think it's really fun to see Art Hop artists kind of how they work and how their work ethic is. I kind of became close friends with a lot of those people who I did Art Hop with, not because we had to deal with the Fresno Heat at the same time or just having to bond together, but also the friendships that need to be made. It's not networking, it's friendships. And I think Art Hop artists need to have that friendship and that ground. Because if you just go and you're like, oh, I'm networking, I'm going to go to a meeting. Like, no, you need to have real friends in art world. You need to have real people or people who buy your art all the time every month. So you know what is selling, what is good, what is bad. Because just kind of, oh, well, you know, I sold this much and then I mailed it. I'm like, well, you don't go to Art Hop anymore. Like, you can't even sell your artwork to the regular person. If you can't sell your artwork to a farm worker, a teacher, or a nurse, don't bother calling yourself an artist, because you have to sell to the ground people. If you don't, then you're just a person that just makes art on a Sunday kind of thing. So I think it's very important for artists to have that networking, that ground, that importance. But unfortunately, Art Hop is no longer, it's hard for artists. It shouldn't be as hard for them to find a place, but it is. So hopefully one day there'll be art back at Art Hop. But right now, I would say it's very important.
Now, let's say hypothetically, you were in charge of the Fresno Arts Council. What's something that you would do to better support kind of artists who are just starting out in the city?
Oh my gosh, there's so many. No, I would just have a questionnaire on their website. They don't even have a questionnaire. If you want to sign up for Art Hop, have a Art Hop location where artists at Art Hop, they don't have to pay for it to have their artwork up. I think censoring artwork is very bad. Them having one location and having to censor, well, this isn't appropriate. This is not, just have a room that says adults only. And then artists can get to express themselves. Also, teenagers will feel like they're cool because they're 18 and they get to go in the naughty room. But really, it's just artwork of a woman breastfeeding. So I think probably under also people who are young is very important. Them being surrounded by only people who fund them and only people who say yes to them is probably the reason why people don't understand what is their purpose anymore. So I would say, surround yourself with people who say no and surround yourself with young people, because they're the ones who will tell you, like, we should create a YouTube channel. We should create TikToks. Like, this is something that they need to listen from. So probably more open. Ask, open call, like, whoever wants to come. Every group of artists needs to come or to support, or let's have different muralists come and talk to a panel. And I think them not even reaching out to the friends, or I would have a meeting at Fresno City once a month so you could hear what the kids are saying type of way. If it's just going to be a bunch of old people and you're just going to, if it's just going to be elderly and it's just going to be yourselves, are you really leaving something behind? Because when you die, what is there going to be? Because you had to control everything. There's not going to be nothing for anyone to do anymore. I think you have to be diplomatic. You have to be kind. You have to be like, oh, let's open this gallery and do this. So I would just say probably more kindness and open and being able to have people come in and not just do grant write-ups or whatever they want to do, but just also, hey, let's have a meeting once a month. Let's read an art book. Let's do a book club. Let's do this and this. I think if they had more community-based, then they could probably, more artists will feel more comfortable signing up and be more, oh, this is art at Art Hop. Like, yes. So yeah, I would just say be more kind and lower your age bracket of your leadership will be so much better.
Yeah. I mean, you can say that about a lot of organizations in town. What are some of the unique challenges of being a woman artist in Fresno?
Men don't care about your art unless they want to sleep with you. Pretty much, that's probably one of the biggest things, that unless a man in art or someone is usually that. And a lot of, we don't talk about a lot in Fresno, is a lot of internalized misogyny towards other women to women artists. It's kind of hard to find your network of people who won't be jealous of you. And that's why it's important to be a woman artist, because you can rely on other women or other people of the marginalized community, because they got you. And I would say it's really hard, because I noticed when I stopped, I just got a partner. I just got engaged, whatever. I got engaged. I noticed a lot of guys would stop buying my art, but it was because they thought of me as one way. I'm like, no, I'm still smart. I'm so kind. I'm still this. But I also, you have to respect people. And I think that's really hard. Like I said, Fresno artists won't know or care about you unless they know, like, oh, I could, let's do this and this. I'm like, no, women artists are not for you to be their muse, for you to be their muse. We have other advantages and we think about things differently. And I think women artists should be more than just our sexuality and whatever, how our body frame is. I think we're more than that. We're also smart and kind and also spunky. Fresno artists are spunky and tough. And I think women artists are especially spunky. And I think that comes in handy a lot, because if someone were to come to you and say, you're overpricing your things, a woman, Fresno girl straight up will say, no, I'm not. You're just broke. So I think important. And I just wish that there wasn't such a boys group in Fresno artists. It kind of makes me mad because I remember when I was younger, a lot of the guy artists wouldn't talk to me. They wouldn't talk to me, or they'll just buy my art just for bad incentives. Mm-hmm. While I think it's important that people know, like, no, maybe your boys group needs to have a little ladies in it. Because I think if you only had an art show, that was a, no offense, but if it was only a sausage fest, then what's the point? Don't call it an art show. Just call it a man show or something. Mm-hmm. Because include everyone and anyone. And yeah, not just for your ego.
Who are a few local artists that should be getting more attention?
Well, I would say, of course, Gooey Stranger. She's my favorite, one of my favorite people. I think she's so kind and so funny. And like her color theory is so phenomenal. And she's also a really good muralist. But I think the way she feels things and the way she talks to things, I really love Gooey Stranger. I always talk about Angel, but I also think like Evelyn Barajas, that's one of my friends, and I really like her artwork. So she should write a children's book. It's in the cards. It's in her cards, I think, that she has the capability to do that. I really like most of the Broadway artists who are women because they're just badasses and they just know how to support each other, and they have to create artwork once a month and has to be something new in order for them to be able to bring people down to Broadway. And they're the ones who are always holding up Broadway studios, and I think any artist from there. But for sure, Gooey, Angel. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a girl's girl, so I really like it when women artists are able to create artwork. And I think them, because they're also create artwork, but they're also good people. Because so you feel better buying from them, in a way.
What do you miss about the Fresno art scene if the main way you interact with it is on social media?
Ooh, that's a good question. Community. I really think the community is so much fun. And if you're just experience it from social media, you haven't seen anything, because it's so fun at Sour, because I remember at Sour Mark vendor events, before the event started, everyone was running around everywhere trying to buy from everyone. And it was cool because right before you were able to like open the vendor event, everyone will be buying from everyone, and you got to see everyone and you got to talk to people. And I used to always like run to Veda's table because I would always be like, no, I need to buy something from them. And I think them, like the community, it was so much fun. And I think when I did our Heart Hop event thing, it was so much fun to do the group chats, and then everyone freaking out because we didn't have toilet paper for the bathroom. And I think it's kind of a shame that only a few people get to experience that, and I guess in the percentage of the Art Hop world. But I really love the community. That's I wish more people saw more of.
Like, yeah, I always ask this question to people because I'm just curious. I think what we choose to spend our life doing informs what we see the problems and solutions are. And so for me, my work is in education. I've worked in K-12 for a long time. And so I tend to see the things through the world of like education problems and education solutions. And I tend to view the world through that particular lens. So I guess, for you, how do you think your work informs how you see the city of Fresno?
How sad the Fresno kids are, how sad the youth is, how poor. We're just artists teaching art, and it's nice for them to have something to relax, because I realized like they have no relaxation. We were told like no color pages whatsoever, but I'm like, well, this might be the only time of the day they get to relax and get to read or get to mellow out. And I think I just see it through the eyes of the Fresno youth, and I just wish they had more opportunities, more kindness towards them. If they were taken care of as the future of Fresno, as they should, not as they are kind of pushed to the end, I think if mayors had to market their campaign towards the Fresno youth, if the Fresno youth had to vote for them, would they be able to? And I think I just wish the Fresno youth was given more kindness to them. And I wish that they had more funds. I mean, there's kids who don't even have food or shoes or jackets, but yet they're being told like, oh, you have to turn your iPad end of the day. I'm like, no, they should be given happiness. And I just wish that they were given, I wish I could give them more than just crayon boxes. But I Just that I see it through the youth of the Fresno, and I wish that they were given way more, and that they were, it wasn't just a North Fresno, because you could tell the difference between North Fresno is funded and South of Fresno is not. And I wish the Mason-Dixon line in Fresno didn't exist, because there is definitely a black and white issue economically, where the psychologically the children are being just being defunded, and it's okay because they're tired of school. Why should we support them when these kids have dealt so much through the pandemic, and it's not okay that they're barely hanging on, but no, I'm going to get them in trouble because they broke my pencil on accident.
We could probably talk about that particular subject for another hour, but we close up and I want to ask you some recommendations. Typically I end with book recommendations, but I'm actually going to separate this out into a few different parts because there's a few different recommendations questions that I want to ask you because I want to pick your brain. Who are three artists we should follow on Instagram who don't live in Fresno?
Ooh, Al Weiwei, he's the Chinese artist who is protesting his Chinese government while he was actually captured. And I think psychologically, they tried to change his moral beliefs, but he didn't. The Keith Haring Foundation, because they do a lot of hard work. And I really like, I don't know how to say their name, but it's Broods. They used to do portraits, and it was with flowers, and they would bring up important people that we have to study in history. And I think it's really good because you have to have someone, a touchstone every day, to be like, oh, I should be more like Harvey Milk. I should be more like Sylvia Rivera. And I think it's important to have someone not just on your Instagram that will be, oh, pretty pictures, but also people who will try to change you for the better.
Art that challenges you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who are some muralists working today that get you really excited?
Martin Townsend, because I went to college with him, and it makes me happy that we're all still doing art. And he gets some murals, but not as many. There's the artist Danny, I also went to college with, and it's really exciting and nice that the people I went to college with are still doing murals. So Martin and Danny, I think they're all into the art world in Art Hop, but I would really like them to be funded more so they could be given opportunities to make Fresno prettier.
What are two of your favorite museums to visit? Not necessarily Fresno.
I travel a lot. So I would say Musée du Marais. It's across from the Seine in Paris. It's the Impressionist Museum. It originally was the train station, and then they changed it into the museum, and I love it. And I went only for the first time. The last time I went to Paris, and I've been there several times, and it was the first time. The other one, it used to be Picasso's museum, because it was an artist who you think, I know their artwork, but then you go, and they recently changed it, and it made me really sad because my dad said, don't ever go because they changed it. But Picasso Museum, before they renovated it, because it was such a community, it was so small, it was intimate. They had every single era Picasso and more. But they also, you could tell every artist there was, favorite artist was Picasso. And I just really loved their kind of, you could tell that they cared for the artist that was in their town. And it wasn't even in a big part of, Picasso Museum wasn't a big part of Barcelona. It's in a small part, the Latin Quarter, you could pass by it in the street. And there's only a sign in Spanish that says Museum of Picasso. So I would say museums that you don't, those two, that you don't, wouldn't be on the top five maybe of the list, but they're the ones that might you want to spend your whole Sunday with. That's good.
What's your favorite museum to visit in California?
Oh, Getty Museum, because it's so pretty. It's nice. I say I like San Francisco more than LA, but every single thing I like the Getty. I'd rather go to Universal Walk and stuff like that, but I think the Getty is so perfect, and it also has one of my favorite paintings. And it's nice. It has a nice flow to it. It's modern architecture with the Rococo and ancient and Greek artwork. And I think it just blends in perfectly. Also has a phenomenal garden where people can just go on Sunday and eat, have a picnic. And I think that's what museums were supposed to be. Sunday activities for easy breezy where everyone can go. But I think now they're just Instagram hubs. Also, Getty's Museum used to have sort of a paint where they would, your phone service wasn't working. So on purpose, you had to pay attention to the artwork. And I think, I wish more museums did it, but I think they changed that at the Getty, which made me so sad because the whole point was to experience the art that you're seeing.
Yeah, leave your phone in the car. All right, last one is book recommendations. And you mentioned before, I was curious if you had a favorite biography of an artist.
Ooh, that's so hard. Maybe Frida, because the movie was so good, but it took so much inspiration from the book. But that's so hard. I would say Van Gogh. The Van Gogh biography, it's Blue and Yellow, and it was recently published. And I would say because at the very end, it shows like every detail of Van Gogh's life. It shows the so it summarizes so perfectly. But at the end, it tells how Van Gogh really died. It shows, waits to the last paragraph to tell you, oh, he didn't kill himself. He was murdered. And it goes into the exact definition, like the explanation and how the author came up with that theory. And it just blows your mind. You think you know the story of Van Gogh until you read the last paragraph. And you're just like, darn it, my whole world. But it's okay.
Those are a bunch of fantastic recommendations. To close, where can people find your stuff and find you online? And what are you up to next?
At just Instagram, at artist Naomi Maria Fresno. I think we're supposed to be scheduled to do a few murals in Fresno to work with. My exciting one is to work with Fresno High on the trolley park. We're excited to work with students and be able to do murals with them, but also get to work with students on ground one. And we've been waiting for a very long time on that project. And I just like the teacher who's in charge of it. I have so much respect for her. And then we're supposed to do other murals in other towns. And I'm really excited because my bucket list is to do a mural in Mendota and in Selma, is both the towns my parents are from. So we're doing one in one of the small towns near Selma. And I think that's going to be so exciting because those kids don't know what's coming. They're excited. They won't.
Well, this has been fantastic. I'm so glad that you're doing art in Fresno. And thank you so much for talking with me.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can support this podcast by leaving us a rating and review or by making a financial contribution at our Patreon page, which is www.patreon.com/Fresno's Best. We'll see you next time.